Okay, you're on.
So how'd you join? Come to join the labs, Bob.
Beg your pardon?
How did you come to join the labs?
That's a good question. A friend by the name of Larry Gardner, who the Gardners, Larry worked, I think originally for Westinghouse, so then he went to Bell Laboratories. His wife was the head of the school in Glen Ridge, New Jersey. I guess she was the principal of one of the schools in Glen Ridge. And they had a daughter named Gail who passed away in her late 20s or early 30s. But Gail was a friend of mine and Dennis's and Dennis Buchanan. And they lived on the west shore of Green Pond. And they lived in one of the seven cabins that were on the rocks on the west shore of Green Pond, and the vast majority of the houses were on the east shore, where my parents had a place, and Dennis Buchanan's parents had a place. Got to be good friends with the Gardners, and Larry was interested in me for some reason or other. I guess for one reason, I was same age as his daughter, and you know, we went out together and had the same friends and so forth. And Larry knew that I didn't know really what I wanted to do, and I was interested in electronics and mechanical stuff. And he arranged for me to have a interview for a job at Bell Labs when I was a senior in high school. And I went for this interview, and eventually got a job at Bell Labs. And the guy that I was hired to work for was Gerald Pearson, who was the inventor of the silicon solar cell. And he shared a laboratory with Walter Bratton, who has the one of the co-inventors of the transistor. And so we had a three-bay, what was called a three-bay long. It's three aisles of workbenches. And the lab on one side was, the labs were long, and on the other side they were short. They were like a difference of maybe 20 feet or so in length. But I went to work in this three-bay log with Bill Feldman, was the other guy who worked for Pearson, and Andy Studna worked for Bratton. And I sat at one of those at a desk in that three bay at the end, the window end of the It's 3 bay long, and that was I think that was 2C348 was the room number. And
do you remember the interview question that really got you your job? It was when the guy said something wrong electronically and about, is it television? And because you were a ham radio operator, you said, I thought it was supposed to be this way. And he says, I misspoke myself.
I don't remember what that was anymore.
But that was, that kind of set positive for him, because he said the guys, when he had taken the aptitude test, kind of told him to, maybe he should look somewhere else for a job. And then this guy came out, and whatever he said, he said to Art, he said, don't worry, I'll fix it. And the next thing they were asking him, when can you come for your physical?
So what kind of projects did they have you work on initially?
Oh, just very simple stuff like polishing silicon wafers. Take silicon boules were maybe several inches long and 3/4 of an inch thick to an inch in diameter, and cut them up with a diamond saw, and then grind them by hand and polish them till they were very smooth and all the damage should be removed from the surface. And then do things like diffuse different materials into the surface to make them light sensitive or plate or photographically imprint circuits on the surface. It was a lot of grunt work. Just hours of polishing and getting things smooth and clean and neat. So you could use some other process to, if that was to get rid of all the damage and mess on the surface, so you could go ahead and try putting usually photographically putting circuitry, imprinting circuitry on it. And then we would have to orient the crystals to make sure that the crystal lattice was aligned the best way for the mobility of electrical currents in the things. So we did that with using X-ray machines and optical methods to orient the crystals and get them set up just right angles and everything. And that led eventually, years later, to my getting into doing all the X-ray diffraction work in the metallurgy department.
So that was, so you doing a lot of work for those initial solar cells. Wow, they've come a long way, huh?
Yeah, that work was, the solar cell work was pretty much done by the time I got there. When I was working for Pearson, the solar cell stuff was pretty well done, and they were, you know, it was on into, they were manufacturing them. But the silicon was still being used for the beginnings of circuitry and beginnings of integrated circuits.
Okay.
But it was mostly a business of making samples to test different properties of the silicon and germanium semiconductor materials.
They're starting to try out germanium even at that time, huh?
Oh, germanium was one of the... Germanium came before silicon as far as the circuitry was concerned. Silicon was thought to be better because it was it would work at higher temperatures and stuff than the germanium would. And the silicon was available in, I guess, at less expense and in more pure forms than the germanium was.
And you were there when they got the Nobel Prize for doing the transistor, right?
I was there when Wohler, Bratton, Bardeen, and Shockley were awarded the Nobel Prize.
Were you still working in that lab? Were you working with one of them?
With still the same lab that Pearson and Bratton shared that lab, the 2C348 lab.
Must have been a pretty exciting time.
Together. Yeah, it was exciting. No doubt about it.
Shockley is the name that if you were to ask me, I'd remember as being most associated with it. Shockley is the name I would remember more than the others who were named at the same time.
Yeah, his name was probably... I don't know whether... I didn't know Shockley, really. He had left and gone, I think, out to California. By the time I started working there, but Bratton was still the Bratton, Bardeen, and Shockley received that Nobel Prize together as co-inventors of the transistor, and. But I didn't know anybody except for Bratton.
And then where'd you go from that lab?
Stayed in that same area for several years.
I know you said you ended up in X-ray diffraction and stuff like that.
Yeah, right? that was, well, I did some X-ray diffraction work in oriented crystals, and Walter Bond was the big guy in doing the X-ray diffraction, the orientation of crystals and stuff. And Bond and Elizabeth Wood, Betty Wood, wrote a number of books on the orientation of crystals and using X-ray diffraction and so forth, and for orientation of crystals. And I knew Walter Bond. He was an older guy by the time I started working at the labs. And Betty Wood was younger. She was a very well-known crystallographer. And trying to think of what the name of the woman who worked with her was. Was her TA or her assistant? I don't remember anymore. Let's kick that around in my mind for a while. See if I come up with it.
And then after there?
So did you move directly from that lab to the metallurgy labs, or was there something else in between?
Oh, I think my desk moved around in that general area. But then I went went to school at the University of North Carolina for a while, and then when I came back from there, I went back to work. I got a job back at Bell Labs again.
Did they pay for that education or not?
No.
How did you decide? So you left Bell Labs to go back to school, is that right?
Yeah, I was encouraged by a number of people, Walter Brown.
Oh, he was a sweetie.
Among them, to get a better education, but I never lived up to their hopes for me.
What educational path did you follow?
Beg your pardon?
What did you do? What did you do in school? What did you study?
I was a physics student in the university. I got a research got a job working in the lab at the University of North Carolina Physics Department, and got a research assistantship. They paid me to do research, and that was under the direction of Rolf Glover, the University of North Carolina, and I did some research for him, doing some stuff with silicon. What the heck was I doing for him? I can't even remember now. I'm getting old.
It was a long time ago.
I think I was doing stuff. I was trying to do some research on superconductors then. That's what we were doing. We were working on superconductors, and tried to get current running around the, you know, continuous circuit current running around a ring of lead, superconducting lead. I think lead went superconducting at about, one degree Kelvin or so.
How tough, so well below liquid helium.
Yeah. Yeah, liquid helium is like 20 degrees Kelvin.
How'd you get things down to 1 degree Kelvin?
Just pull a vacuum on it, pump on it, as it
evaporated off?
Yeah, evaporated off the, it'd get colder. You could get down to a few tenths of a degree Kelvin. Or absolute zero, above absolute zero.
Bar.
Should operate with things that cold is dangerous.
Bar.
Something heats up, things explode, or explode, they build high pressure and blow out. Tough. So did you finish your degree there, or how long did you stay?
I stayed for, I think, a couple of years, and I eventually was coming home for a Christmas vacation, and I fell asleep driving my Austin Healey Sprite and ran off the road.
That's how you got that beautiful scar on his chin there.
Heidelberg dueling scar. Right?
Yeah.
Actually, I love that.
Off the Healy Sprite dueling star.
Don't laugh. I actually like that thing. It gives him character.
I was a character, all right.
So how badly were you hurt in that accident? Clearly your face got chopped up. What else, Susie?
Well, that was all.
So you missed going back the next semester because of that, or?
I just decided I wasn't. Schooling was not the thing for me. So I went back to Bell, went back, got an old job at Bell Labs in the metallurgy department, and working for Jack Werdick, and started going to school nights again at Fairleigh Dickinson University. And I finally graduated from Fairleigh Dickinson and, with a bachelor's degree in physics, and went to, I took a course at Rutgers University at the, was the Bush campus, maybe, in Piscataway. And met the guy who was teaching this industrial X-ray course there that I took, and that the labs paid for, and I started in graduate school with that guy as my mentor, as instructor, and at the Rutgers.
At the same time as you were working?
Yeah, I was working days, and they gave me I got like 1 day a week off to go to school. And
is So you ended up with that, was it Masters in Materials Research or something like that?
Yeah, Material Science.
Material Science, yeah.
I didn't realize you had a master's.
Yeah.
So you had a master's in material science and a bachelor's in physics.
Right.
So he's a double trouble.
And then you continued working. Did taking that degree change what you were doing at the labs? Or just help it evolve?
Well, I became the head of the X-ray diffraction laboratory. I was in charge of that X-ray diffraction laboratory in the metallurgy department, and then went on to do some other research and got working with Dixon Dutterar at the labs. We were working on doing solder bump technology, where you'd put little dabs of solder on and melt them, make solder bumps in a pattern that you could...
This is critical in surface mount technology. Right?
Yeah. And did experiments for several years on the lifetime expectancy of solder bump, the solder bumps to bonding other integrated circuits to the surface.
So people were probably really concerned about delamination, because through-hole technologies, that wasn't so much of a concern. Is that right? They would have been real concerned if things are going to pop off over time?
Yeah.
Thermal time, thermal stresses, all right. Those things, yeah.
And
was that some of the groundbreaking work on surface mount technologies, or is that...
I don't know that it was anything groundbreaking. I don't think it was.
Just doing lifetime studies?
We were doing, the experiments I was doing were really about lifetime studies and how the solder bumps would stand up to stress. We did cyclic
strain.
Shear strain.
But you had to build some of your own equipment, right?
Oh, yeah.
You had to design your own equipment for the strain experiments and some of the software, too.
Yeah.
So it was more than just watching the things go pop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was collecting the data and designing the experiments to do the strain. Had to measure the strain in micro inches.
Using strain gauges or X-ray diffraction or both?
How do we do that?
I remember that sort of towards the end when I was there, you were getting time on this electronic microscope. I don't know if that was part
electron
of that.
Electron microscope. Okay. We're looking at the surfaces where things broke apart, and
what was the S for? Something electron microscope, the SEM.
Scanning.
Scanning electron microscope.
Yeah, I remember a couple of times. He would be having lunch and, oh, I gotta go. I gotta get to. I got my time on the SEM this afternoon. So.
Did you like that? Did you like that work?
I enjoyed it.
At one point, you were a sysadmin. When did that
What?
You were a system administrator? When did that occur, on your first or second stint at Bell Labs?
Second. We got into the... We got into the computer business. We bought a PDP 1145, Digital Equipment Corporation, DEC 1145 computer, and then after that we got a VAX. We got the DEC VAX, 11780 VAX, and had that room down at the end of the hall, 1A 102.
I think so. Yeah.
Was it? I think
the birdcage. Was that where? The birdcage is building two, isn't it?
Yeah. That was building two. This was down building one. The very end.
Where text processing, I think, ended up eventually. At least that's the end that I know about, Ted.
But we had that 1A-102 done up as a computer room with the raised floor of the...
For all the cooling? To run the cabling and run
the
cooling?
For the cables and everything could go underneath.
Yeah, kids say, shoot, most people, they wouldn't understand and believe how much power those things took and how big they were and how little memory and processing power they had.
Yeah.
Shoot, my watch probably has more computing power than that back. So.
Oh, yeah.
We won't talk about our cell phones compared to. So you were the admin over that whole area for a while?
Oh, for the materials research area, yeah.
Wow.
No, he was always my system administrator when I got to the labs, and he... I think it started because the data kit, which is their all-purpose hookup to all the computers and everything. For some reason, my node had given out. I couldn't get to the computer, and I needed to do something for my supervisor, and I was kind of helpless. And I was able to do it on my PC, but I couldn't do anything with it. And so Art got me a logon in his little microvax called Samwise, and were able to get me across the node system to him, and I was able to upload it to the microvax that I had done, and he was able to print it out for me, so it was great. So he was...
Is that how you guys met?
No, we met, good heaven, I lived in New York, honey, and he lived in New Jersey, remember? I'm a New Yorker by blood. We met through ham radio. I fell in love with this wonderful smiling voice. I said, I gotta meet him. And we had a mutual friend in common, and it turned out he was interested in meeting me, and we just worked it out after a while, and we met at the end of September of 85, and we got married at the end of October 85, and Sunday coming will be our 29th anniversary.
1985. That's what I asked Pop what year, and he said 85. He had it right.
So, I think it was worth it.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell David about the Ice Cube phone.
Ice Cube phone. I think you mentioned that last time.
What?
The Ice Cube phone.
Oh, Jack Wardick had done a lot of work on Peltier devices. They were semiconductor devices where if you ran current through them, they would cool. And they had a guy was retiring from the labs. I don't remember who it was, but he had done work on that with Wernick and those guys on the some of the things that what was it he used to say?
The one thing a phone couldn't do.
Oh, it says, you can make these real fast phone calls and everything now. But you can't get an ice cube out of a telephone. And so we made a telephone that would make an ice cube for them.
Call directors are wonderful things.
You know, it's interesting. I had a feeling that at the labs, because of the type of people who were there, and the fact that people were allowed to bootstrap at least a little bit, a fair number of jokes and hacks and things took place. Is that correct?
I think so. I think, like with any bunch of research guys that were, joking around in their minds, but we took this call director and took the guts out of it and built a real hefty power supply in the bottom. It took a lot of current to run this thing that we made. We bought some of these Peltier cooling devices. The thing was, a cube. It was a rectangular thing, had about a 3-inch by 4-inch aluminum plate that was cooled by this Peltier device. The whole thing stood about, 2.5-3 inches tall.
Wow, that's a big ice cube.
No, that wasn't the ice cube.
That was the device that
cooled
it down, and we made it so that it would make an ice cube that was about 1/2 inch deep and 1 inch by 3/4 inch or so in size, and we made it so that it would go from being room temperature water to ice cube in about 30 seconds or 40 seconds.
Fast, anyway.
Yeah.
Them were the fun days, weren't they?
Had to be fast enough so that it was, it was impressive. And so you could see it freezing and everything. Well, that was kind of fun.
Wasn't there a room where they had some group of people made model trains? Model up one of the attics or something? They had a model train club. I think I saw that once.
I'm pretty sure they did.
These guys were crazy. Probably no home life, because I'm sure they worked long hours and then went there and worked on their trains.
Yeah, we had car clubs and model airplane clubs and flying clubs and
chess clubs, I think. Was there a chess club at one time?
Yeah, all kinds of clubs at the labs.
And then they had Bible studies. When I was there, they had Bible studies,
yep.
And a whole bunch of people from various Bible groups and stuff got together, and we decided we were going to put on a show for everybody at the labs. And we called it the Gospel Extravaganza, and I will never forget our first Gospel Extravaganza. And Art was there, and I was going to be one of the singers, but he came up at the beginning and the end to sing with us. And it was a variety show. We had singers, we had pianists, we had people from various cultures. We had an Asian group. It was fantastic, and we did several of them. In fact, I probably have them all on VHS or something. And we had a blast. We really had a lot of fun putting them together, and it was extremely well attended. I was rather amazed how packed that auditorium got.
Arnold Auditorium.
Yep. And it wasn't, you know, I mean, it wasn't the hugest thing in the world. Acoustically, it was fantastic. But I was just amazed how well attended these things were. Because at first I kind of wondered, well, who's going to come, you know? And when I heard that first initial round of applause, I was like, oh my, the whole place was packed from floor to ceiling. People even came in from like the Short Hills facility and other facilities, not only to watch, but a couple to perform too. It was really quite fantastic. So Art and I had fun with that.
That was neat.
Yeah.
Bell Labs was neat.
He got to go to all of my secretarial functions, and I got to go to a lot of his department's parties in and out of house. So it was really quite nice.
Good years, weren't they, Dolph?
Yep.
It's a first-class organization, it was.
In fact, I remember, you know, one time he had dropped me off at a secretarial... they were going to have a secretarial breakfast, so he dropped me off at the cafeteria. I just, you know, we just come in from home, so he dropped me off at the cafeteria, and my supervisor comes over to me. You are staying, aren't you? You're not leaving. You're not going to leave us. So of course he stayed and had breakfast and stuff. So from that point on, he was always welcome to join us in our dinners and lunches and whatever else we had. And what I liked about it was we got to be together so much.
Yeah.
We'd go into work together, we'd come home together, we'd have lunch and breaks together.
That's awesome. That was what a great thing that would be.
It really was. I mean, you know, and when I worked in Building 3 and he worked in Building 1, there was a courtyard that kind of was between the two buildings. And so I'd come out on the Building 3 side, he'd come out in the Building 1 side, we'd meet in the middle, you know.
Yeah, there was a walkway between the buildings there.
Yeah, but then there was that...
And then closed walkway.
But then there was that outside courtyard.
Yep.
Yeah. And in the summers, we'd take our drinks or whatever, and we'd meet out in that little courtyard.
Now, that was the courtyard that was in the midst of Building 3.
Yeah. But it also had, another door on Building 1. Because I remember you coming across the yard.
I don't think so.
Hmm. because there was another door that went somewhere.
Good times, huh?
But it was definitely good times, and we just... I really enjoyed the fact that I could be with him.
So is that what you were doing until the time you retired, or what were you doing towards the end?
I was doing the... I was doing that those cyclic strain experiments on solder bumps when I retired.
Because I remember you had...
had those optical tables that were set up. They were sort of vibration-proof tables.
Right.
And they were on air-inflated legs that were liquid-damped. And the tables were optical. They were made for doing optical experiments.
Yeah, usually laser, but people use them for x-rays too. We used to always use those, but you're right. They're originally made mainly for laser work, right?
Yep. They're like 8 or 10 inches thick. The aluminum on both sides that was tapped with 1024. For 1024 screws.
Yep.
And they were like 4 feet by 8 feet or 5 feet by 9 feet or something like that. And
pretty thick, yeah.
Pretty thick. They're about 10 inches thick.
I had about 6 of those. We used for x-ray setups.
Yep.
And then we built x-ray enclosures over the top of them.
Yeah.
Started with steel, and later on we got fancy and used something loaded into plastics. Because lead glass was really pricey.
Yeah.
We used cadmium loaded into plastics or something, I don't remember, for the doors, except some places for beam stops we still use steel. And then... Yeah, do all the setups and tear them apart. And those are great tables. I love those things.
Yeah.
We could buy them used cheap because nobody wanted to move them very much.
Right.
But everybody who got their money as a startup money as a faculty member always went out and bought new.
Yeah. What a waste.
Yeah, so we didn't have money for new for anything like that. So. Neither did they. They just didn't have the trade-offs.
But at the very end, you were assistant at admin again, temporarily for 52. I remember 115. Because I don't know, they needed to get someone in temporarily until they got another person or whatever, and so you had gone in to be their system admin for a while.
Yeah.
And my supervisor, who she ran into trouble with something, and she called me, and I didn't have the stuff to help her. And she said, so I said, well, call Art. I can't keep bothering Art. I said, he's your system administrator now. You can bother him. So we called Art, and I told him what she needed. And I was no longer needing to work full time. I was basically off the book. Well, I was off the job. So I had gone home with Art after lunch, and he went back to work on Ann's machine. He calls me up. I can't get the terminal program running. And the first thing I said was, do you have a null modem in there? Oops. He goes flying out the door, all the way back to building one to get a null modem, comes back. I'm on hold. He comes back, puts it on. Sure enough, everything works perfectly.
That's why two great minds, you know, accomplish more together, right?
That's what I liked, was we could work together. We could have fun together, too.
Yep.
So that was his life, our life at Bell Labs. We walked out hand in hand.
So did you end up both finish working at the same time?
No. I will use their euphemistic expression. My job went away in October of 95 or beginning of November. And I was offered either to take the money and run, but I would lose all my vacation pay. It was just like a lump sum with, I would lose all the, you know, vacation days, vacation pay. Or to take an extended time where I could use the office and do whatever I wanted to do, basically. I took that because I would get the vacation time. So what I often did was I would go in maybe 3 days a week and take the rest of the time as vacation, because I had just picked up a third week, so I had to use it. So doing the calculations, I went in like three times a week, sometimes four, sometimes half days. You know, Art was technically, that was around the time when he was being a system administrator and seriously looking at retirement. And after some discussion, I encouraged him. I said, if you want to do it, do it. Because he said he couldn't stand having to fight with people over budgets, fight with friends over budgets. And so by the time his retirement package came through, I had just about finished my extended leave, my extended time. So we walked out hand in hand in like January of 96.
So you really did. You know, you had to delay yours a little bit, but you really, guys really ended it all pretty much simultaneously.
We ended it together. And
that's very cool.
I couldn't think of a better way to do it. So.
Life was good then. It's still good today.
And
it worked. Let's see, that was a long time ago. Not quite 20 years, but approaching 18 years, huh?
Yeah. And then we got to do lots of fun things together. Camp at the airport. Well, we did that anyway, but we had longer times we could do that. Because a lot of times when we were working at Bell Labs, I would take, you know, some days I'd take like a Friday or a Monday and make long weekends out of it, and we'd go and play at the airport. Stuff like that. So we had a good time.
Yep.
But
wow, that's enlightening, because man, I learned a lot of things I didn't know.
I really enjoyed my time working with Art. It made both of us happy beings.
I was commenting, Pop, that
beg your pardon?
I was commenting that when I get Lee's emails, that she pays far more attention to the reader experience than most people do when they prepare emails. She actually has real words, grammar that makes sense, and I just wanted to let her know that I noticed it and appreciated it, because some people don't seem to care what kind of schlock they just shovel out and abuse the reader. And and I could see that she paid attention to that.
It's the only way I know how to write. Construct a sentence I know how.
To do.
If I were to speak in Yodaese, construct a sentence I know how. So, I guess we're done here.
I think so for today.
Say goodbye, world. Goodbye, world.